Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I feel like this is a family moment rather than a preaching moment. And thanks, Mike, for just offering this to me. I'm not sure if I'm going to need that. Hang on a second. I'm going to sit down just for a second. I'm a little bit shaky. In about 3 hours' time, it was 5 weeks ago today, that I was at home, just finished church. We had a great service that morning, and my husband had been preaching somewhere else. In fact, I just messaged him. He's in London waiting to fly home today. There's no one, Shell knows, who would rather be here this morning more than he would, because he's intimately connected with what I'm going to tell you. But Mark, when you watch this service, I know you're here with us. So he'd been preaching at a different church and we'd kind of met home, and I'd done what every great pastor's wife does, bought a roast lunch from IGA. That's kind of our thing. My mum used to cook it. I don't even know how she did that every Sunday, but whatever. Bought this roast lunch, sat it down, put a little candle on the table, and he walked in the door and we had our lunch, and he went upstairs to get changed, and I said, I'm just going to scoot down the back of our house, grab something. And I had a cake in the oven. It was his birthday. And, you know, anyway, as he went, I went down the same stairs I've gone down thousands of times over the last 9 years. In our house, from the kitchen, there's like a split level. You go down 5 stairs and there's a landing, and you turn and go down another 5. There's a wall and you just turn left and go down the passage. And I went down the stairs, got to the landing, and I have no idea what happened next. I don't really remember it, but I just fell from the landing and headed straight towards the wall. And I stood there this morning and thought, yeah, it's about an 8 feet kind of fall. I think what I must have done is just put my hand out at the time of the fall. But because it was at height, I kind of twisted and fell and spiral fractured my humerus bone in my arm and dislocated my shoulder in a downward manner. I must have fallen upside down. I don't know. I've actually never had an accident in my life. There was a lot of screaming and I knew straight away. I won't go into any of the details because it's not the place, but I just knew I needed help. So I'm yet screaming to get an ambulance. Mark comes running downstairs, and his journey's different because he then had to look at that for the next half an hour until the paramedics arrived and they rushed me off to hospital. I was in and out of consciousness a lot of that day. And then I think the next 6 days were some of the hardest days I've ever faced. I know some of you have been through this stuff where you get to sundown and you're like, oh God, this is going to be another long night. And constantly in pain. And for whatever reason, I didn't even have a pain management team for 3 days. I didn't have surgeons see me. They put a cast on my arm that was the wrong cast, that every time I breathed, it cut into the fracture. And I mean, it was pretty gruesome. Things happened that week, and I finally left one hospital and went to another and got the surgery that I needed. So I now have this 15-centimetre scar and a plate in my arm. I will be the bionic woman. And that's a journey as well. And I'm glad it's winter and I'm glad my sleeves are long. But, you know, there's a journey of painkillers and just messages from people from all over the world saying, we're praying for you. I have a global role with the Global Leadership Network. And so I'm in touch with country leaders almost in every nation, and the question was, can we get people to pray? What would you say? Someone said, can we pray for you? Of course, I said yes, and messages came, and I'm laying in hospital. I'm going to say the word suffering. I don't know that I've ever suffered actually in my life like this, but I think I did. And but knowing the world is praying and wondering what this is about. And as I was in the emergency on the Sunday afternoon, I thought, I'm not going to let this rob me from anything that God wants me to do. So you better redeem this. Had some very strong conversations over the time. I've had an app, Lectio 365, that is a meditation app on the Word of God, and literally I've played it over and over and over, morning and night, which is not something I've ever done. I'm never still enough to play apps. I'm always on the go, yet I was halted for the last 5 weeks, and the first week particularly was so traumatic. So I came home. Mark and I were meant to be on holidays too. I get it. And obviously we cancelled all of that, but we were finishing our holiday with a week of ministry in Norway with the Baptist World Alliance. And once I was home for a week, I'm talking about not even being able to shower or dry myself, or we've had very funny moments, Mark and I. Like, don't even do that. Like, just move here, move there. It's just unbelievable what you go through when you're completely... And I couldn't even move this arm. And he would lower me into bed at night with pillows, and just, I loved that moment, that tender moment at night. And then he'd pray, and then I'd start the night shift and up every few hours on pain meds. And but, you know, we both talked about it and said he should still go to Norway. We've got a gorgeous family who have been very supportive. My mum and dad are here this morning. And my daughter's like, I'll come and move in and look after you. She's pretty good at that. She's a lot like her dad. So I'm like, you can come and move in. She left her husband alone for the 10 days. And so Mark headed off to Norway. And then, you know, he's got a global ministry and he had things to say and do. And if I'd said, stay home and hug me and kiss me each night and put me into bed, he would have, there would be so much less that would have been possible through his ministry. So off he went. It was hard to say goodbye to him, but off he jumped on the plane. And then I want to tell you about Monday. So just struggling, and I mean, trying to dress myself, and my daughter and I also laughed a lot. And I thought I'd be 90 before she'd have to do some of the things she's had to do. But anyway, and then Monday, I get a call from a friend, Cherie, and Cherie's here this morning, and she's like, I'm going to come over tonight and cook dinner for you, which is great. I don't think I've had to cook a single meal in the last month. It's been awesome. And I said, okay. And she goes, no, I'm going to bring it to your house, and I'm going to cook it there. Like, oh gosh, okay, that's going to take a few hours. And just the energy, if anyone's ever been through trauma, and so like just thinking of trying to communicate for a couple of hours, is it was beyond me on Monday. And so I of course said yes. Yeah, she's a dear friend. She flits in at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, puts her slippers on, gets a little basket out and starts cooking in my kitchen. But I was aware Mark was doing this moment at the Baptist World Alliance in Norway at 6 p.m., and I said, I want to zoom in and watch what's happening. It's on, because he's the president of Asia Pacific Baptist. And so at 6 o'clock, we open my laptop on the kitchen table, and Katie's there, my daughter. She's a pastor at Hillsong Church, and she leads all their creative ministries. And put the Zoom meeting on, and then I see the last person speaking, and then they invite the president of Asia Pacific Baptist Federation to come up and pray. So we all lean in, and Mark just started to pray. And I don't even know what he said now, but at the time he was praying for the nations, you know, there's 500 or 600 global leaders there. But there was just something about that moment, and I felt like his prayers just came through the computer to our house. And Cherie stopped cooking in the kitchen. She comes and sits down, Katie comes over. And then I watch my husband just praying over the world, going, oh, it's so right that he went. And he's such the right person in that moment. And he's ministering to me, which he's done by my bedside for the last 3 weeks. And he finished, and the president of the Baptist World Alliance, I know I'm the female president, but he's the male president. He's just like, Mark, your wife's had an accident, we've heard, and can you just tell us a little bit about it? And he got thrown. And so then when Mark's thrown, he just kind of blurts it out from his heart. And I just was watching him, and he's like, she just had this accident and da da da. And for about a minute just shared, and it was very dramatic. I'm bawling my eyes out at the table. Katie's crying. I'm sure he's probably crying. And then Tomas, the president, says, can you tell her that we're praying for her and that we love her? and we love you. And then I just shut the computer and I was a mess. This is Monday. And then Sheree then goes, right, well, when I came here, now Sheree and her husband had just been in Melbourne. They'd just gone and stayed with Mark and Melinda Edwards because Sheree's Mark's sister. They'd been at a conference over there and she's like, I brought this little vial of oil, this little container of oil back from the conference because they'd seen such incredible things happening at Numa Church there. And she said, I brought this tonight because I wondered if I should anoint you with oil and pray for you. And she goes, would you like me to do that? What would you say? It's not always yes, because there's something in the yes that is part of the answer to healing. In fact, Jesus said that to the man by the pool. He'd been at the pool of Siloam for decades and crawling to the water when the water was touched by the Spirit. And Jesus said, do you want to be healed? So when Sheree said, do you want me to anoint you with oil? I felt I had one of those moments and I just went, absolutely. And I rolled up my sleeve and I exposed the ugliness of what this is at the moment. It won't always be like that. And I said, don't put it on the wound, but just put it on my arm. And so as a good friend does, she didn't kind of recoil and faint. She just put the oil there and then I still can feel her hand on my arm and she started to pray. I've never had this experience in 59 years since I was born of walking with Jesus. And I felt these vibrations up and down my arm and my body. And I can't remember what she prayed, except I remember thinking, what are you doing, God? And my daughter then starts to put a worship song on. I'm sure it's Hillsong in the background. I have no idea. And the house is filled with worship. And Sheree stopped. I'm like, don't stop praying. God is doing something amazing right now. And so she kept praying. Katie prayed. And then I remember praying at the end and knowing that God was saying, Karen, do you want this? You need to agree with this. And I just said, I receive all the healing you have for me. And I suspect it's more than just a broken arm healing. Although it's not broken, it's plated together now. But we prayed, we cried, we worshipped. Probably 10 minutes total. Not saying this is like a 3-hour on the floor kind of moment. It's 10 minutes. And then we had chicken casserole for dinner. And then she went home, put her slippers, changed her shoes, and off she went like this little ministering angel. And I went upstairs. And I think part of Mark going away has been for me to be close with Jesus. And upstairs is a sanctuary where our bedroom is now. And I'm like, well, Lord, what on earth is going on? And something that's been going through my mind is this scripture. I want you to read it with me. I'm going to have to just open my words here. And I read this that night. The Apostle Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Remember the road to Damascus? It was God and his will that called Paul to do what he's doing. I feel the same, and you should too. And Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, he's writing a letter, the second letter, a year after the first, together with all these holy people throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. But just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. There's 7 verses there and 9 times it talks about comfort in suffering. And then it very overtly talks about a reason for our suffering is to bring comfort to others. So I'm reading that this night and playing a song that God has literally given me 6 months ago, and it plays on repeat and repeat. It's long enough in its own self, but it goes on repeat for an hour in my house. And then I get a message from Mike saying, hey, you're on communion this weekend. Can you still do it? Do I need to get someone else? And Shell tells you the story. And I'm like, what are you doing, God? And then I realized I really hadn't had any pain in my arm for a couple of hours. I had movement in my arm. I don't really need this sling. I use it in public because I need to just protect myself and be sensible. But literally, I'm not doing this to be dramatic, like throw the crutches away or something. Hold on a minute. But I actually forgotten I'd had it on. But I went to bed and I thought these painkillers I was on was making me sick. I'm like, what if I don't take them? Now, I've been in those meetings where they say, throw the tablets away and God's everything you need. And I'm like, oh gosh, I feel like we've got to be sensible as I struggle with this journey of healing. So I'm like, all right, I'm just not going to do it tonight. I hadn't slept through the night in a month. Every 3 hours I was awake taking painkillers, and I'm just going to step in and have faith in the healing, because surely that's God. Do you want to be healed? So I just went to bed about 10 o'clock and I woke at 6 o'clock the next morning. And then I'm like, I have no pain. Where's my pain? And I realized pain can be a comfort because you know what, you know, it's something I'd live with day and night for a month. And I got up and I'm just going to take 2 Panadol just in case, which I did. And I take occasionally, take nothing. This morning I'm like, I'm going to take, this is my journey, honestly. Just take a couple of Panadol just in case I need it. And I felt the Lord say, why do you need that? You don't need it. You're not in pain. I'm like, okay. And honestly, for the last week, I literally, it's stiff. I've got to work out how to use this metal arm. But literally, I have no pain doing this. And when Mark left, he's going to actually faint tomorrow when he sees me. When he left, I'm like, goodbye, honey. Oh, I couldn't even move this broken wing. And he comes back. And God has done a miracle. And I can't say I've ever had that. It's an incredible thing to journey in the midst of it all. And every day when I move it, when I work, yesterday I went and with my left hand vacuumed our lounge room. But that requires some movement. And that's the first time I've done anything other than for my body in the last month. And I just praise God that he's on a journey. I'm like, what this is about, this is not about just me. This is about us. And I think Mike's sense of, I wonder if this is meant to be spoken at our church today. I wonder if this story should be told because it builds faith in us that God can meet our needs. The song that I have been listening to for ages will be played in 3 weeks' time. I will be standing on a stage in Chicago. I will be. In fact, while I was laying on the floor waiting for the ambulance, I'm like, I've got to get to Chicago. I'm part of and have been planning for the last 2 years. We will launch a global women leaders network. It's already launched in 13 countries. The US is launching it on the 1st of August. And this is a statement to release the kingdom and women leaders in the kingdom. And I will stand on that stage and lead the launch and the celebration of this movement with thousands of people. So important to be with my family this morning, to stop shaking and to get some kind of confidence to, I see God's providence in that as well. But at the end of that night, 6 months ago, we'd planned to play a song I'm going to play to you right now. Because if you're a woman in leadership, you know how hard it is in the church and in the world. And you know how there's an enemy that wants to quieten our voice and shut us down. Yet we're in a season, praise God, that I get to live this season where God is releasing the voice of women leaders to sing, not to fight, but just to sing and make a beautiful sound on this earth. And I just thought this is a great song. It's a great way to end this night. We've got bands and visuals of women all over every nation of the world. And yet I'm laying in hospital doing the night shift, those dark hours, playing this, going, oh my gosh, this is actually my song now. So I'm going to dim the lights and I want you to sit in it. And when we finish this moment, I'm going to share something with you and I'm going to offer to pray. And we're having the ministry team come and we're actually going to have a beautiful time of God's presence. what I experienced Monday night just in my little house in our pajamas. I think God probably wants to do some healing in many of us this morning. But at first, read and listen to this song.